With our song, come and pray in us, Holy Spirit.
Spirit, come. Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, Immanent Holy Spirit, the divine indwelling. Amen. Amen.
Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that's going to list all the current and upcoming events. Be sure to take that home with you. I notice there are several pages to read over. Also, our song that we'll be singing during the community song time is in there, so you might want to take a minute and look at that so that you can sing freely during the song time. Registration for work groups for the fall is going to end tomorrow. The details about the work groups and the registration can be found in the bulletin board, in the fellowship hall, and also on the happenings page of the church website. So there are a lot of good offerings. It's a wonderful way to grow and get next to a topic. And tomorrow is the deadline. Registration is also open for movements and for simple explanation of work ideas, which is one of the legs of this church, the work of inner Christianity, and it'll give you a good idea of what we're doing in the inner work. So please see the church website about this and also the bulletin insert. Our next multi-day centering prayer retreat is going to be held September 9th through the 14th, and that's at Cedar Break in Belton. And it's going to be featuring the welcoming prayer, which is really a basic tool for moving on in the spiritual journey. So it's a wonderful opportunity to really acquaint yourself if you're not familiar, or to practice the welcoming prayer in a time of silence. Jackie is signing up our godly play teachers for the fall quarter. So if you are a godly play teacher and you know when you're going to be out of town, please let her know so she can do the schedules. And also, we are in need of new volunteers for Baby Whisperers. And that is a one-time a month position. And you get to hold the fresh breath of God for a few minutes and allow the parents to have an opportunity to get some feeding at another level. So there are tapes available for those who are baby whisperers. See Jackie if you want more information about that, or call the office. And also, if you're here this time for the first time, we welcome you. And there will be someone on the other side of the bridge to give you something to take home and read, to answer any questions that you might have, or at least begin a dialogue about whatever you might have on your heart or mind. And now Tim has a message for us.
You felt a little low-key there. Yeah, me too. I'm a little tired. I ran 2 4x400s last night. We have experienced a transformation at our house, and I couldn't be more surprised. I go to bed at 9 o'clock, and Barbara, who has never once evinced any interest in sport, watches every possible Olympic trial and loves it. And she tells me what they are, and I thought, thank you very much. Now, this used to be my passion. So we've been going through a lot of exchanges where one trait will move into the other partner and we'll get to love it over there. But to see my wife as a sports fan is really something. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the idea, Now I Am Here. And we read from Francis Bennett's book, I Am That I Am, the pages that gave us the tool for focusing our vision, our insight, so clearly and so finely that we're able to have an experience that's unusual, but the realest experience of all. And I referred to it at the time as when we find the touch of that experience, when we taste it, it's like when they give the bloodhound a sock. Here's the guy you're looking for. Okay, go get him, Rover. So when we get a touch of the experience, now I am here, or I am here now, when we actually experience that feeling, now we know something about the spiritual journey directly and mystically, because it doesn't have anything to do with what happened a little while ago, and it has nothing to do with what's going to happen in a minute. It's here that our lives are. So it's been a while since we've gotten to chat with each other. And one of the graces of this ministry for me as a pastor is the dialogical relationship we have from time to time, talking about ideas, working with these new ideas so that we begin to understand them as more than dogmatic statements, more than some kind of theology that somebody figured out a long time ago, and realize that all the dogma, all the theology is meant to bring us to an experience, a direct personal experience of the here now God. So how many of us have read I Am That I Am? Good. There's a goodly number of us here. So let's hear from some of you. What did you get out of this book? And what is it that you feel is useful about knowing now I am? Yes, go ahead. It's Jim.
Well, I think one of the main things I got out of it was the idea of awareness. And I'm still kind of struggling with it, because I'm in the field of mental health, and pretty much every day I'm around people that are suicidal or there's something going on. And I think one of the struggles I had is that she's pretty much just saying, relax, which I like that. But I also have had some things happen in my life that certainly, I'll just share, I had an ex-wife died in the balloon crash. Now the good thing I see in that is that we were married in this church 20 years ago when we were at Steck. even in divorce, we were able to have a spiritual bond because we stayed together a year and a half from the time we knew we were going to divorce. And looking back, I'm amazed at that. But I think it's that awareness of kind of connecting. But also, I think at the end of the book, she talks about relaxing. And I think too many times I get so uptight, it almost is a struggle fighting it to get to that perfect place instead of just relaxing and say, let God have it. It will come. You know, as in the Bible, I think the favorite verse that I've had to kind of answer things that come up that there's no answer to is the passage about that right now we're seeing in a cloudy mirror. Someday that's going to be clear. And we can have some clarity, but I just, that gives me some hope that I don't have to struggle. I can relax, be in God's grace, and accept it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no struggle in relaxing except to relax. and that's the cost. I mean, there's a terrible cost to living uptight like we do. We're moving fast, we're on to the next thing, we're getting rid of the last thing. To actually take a breath and come here now, hardest thing in the world. So that baseline, though, does teach us. Jim is referring to the connection we have, the behind, underneath the visible realms, to where when we realize the I am in ourselves, we're also realizing, oh, this is the I am in everybody. This is the human being. The original human being is present in each of us, as each of us. So when I know something, well, I mean, that's what got us through 18 hard years together. We've been together 37 years, and 18 of them were very difficult. And it's not because either one of us was a bad person. We were moving through the unconscious material of early life that hadn't been worked through. And we were working through it from that place of connectedness that you were referring to. And that's what held us in place while we grew. So that I am is not just a clever thing to say, and it's not just round us, be here now. I mean, all of those things are true, but there's this experience that unites you to all humanity and all creation. Who else got something to share? Did you point at somebody, Barbara? Oh, Johnny.
Yeah, since Jim has the mic, I figure I'd go ahead, but yeah.
I put it up right by your chin, Johnny.
Several years ago, that all you really have is this moment in time. You don't have 10 seconds from now. You don't have 10 seconds ago. You just have this moment. And it took forever for me to grasp that and try to stay there. It's really not a matter of relaxing like the book he just read. I'm going to read it next week. But now I can pretty much turn anything that comes up over to God and let him have it and be done with it. And that's by living in the moment, because all I have is this next breath of air, hope.
Yeah.
Ain't guaranteed. It's not a guarantee, but I've been around for a while for something. So anyway, God's grace is the most magnificent thing there is, you know.
Yeah.
And to walk in God's grace, and I try to 24/7. And it's not easy because, you know, the world's nuts out there. But
well, you know, the world's nuts in here, too.
Yeah, I know. We're all crazy, you know, but, you know, we're just saying in the funny form right now, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, but yeah, living in the moment, I got that. Got used to doing that about 8 years ago, and you know, in the prayer and meditation of the center prayer, you know, all that. You know, I was doing that before I even got here and didn't even know what I was doing, you know, but it definitely works. And I'm so glad this church is here and you're
I'm glad
special.
We're at us, Johnny.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
We're a big us. Who else? Yes, go ahead, Gay.
There's something about reading a book like this that I can read something and bring this into my awareness and say, oh, that's what I've been doing all these years.
Yes, it frames it for you.
Yes. So I one of my habits, who knows when it developed, but it's been a lifetime, this sort of low-grade background hum of anxiety. It never even reaches the seldom ever reaches the level of worry, which is like an intellectual enterprise. It just seems to me that it's been there. Something, I don't remember what in this book, just sort of brought that into focus for me. I did practice really actively the little exercises
yes.
that he gives
yes.
for several weeks. And what I'm realizing, I don't know if it was because of what I read in the book, but the book certainly did help bring this this anxiety level sort of into focus for me. But what I notice now is that is mostly gone. It is mostly gone. I think all of the practices that we do here have contributed to that. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that books like these that we read here begin to tie everything together.
Yes.
Everything, the work of Inner Christianity, all the talks that you and others give, it all begins to come into some kind of focus. And it is a lived thing for me. So I'm so, you know, if that little practice of
self-inquiry.
Yes. Self-inquiry, but the practice that he says, you know, I am here now, right now. That's really what does it.
I'm going to read that in a few minutes, but let's see if we can get some more people to share. Yes, Dana.
I'm not sure at what age I realized that the only time there is now, but it's been a long, very long time.
Yes.
And it's something as a mom I've tried to teach my children and tried to help people who are friends who are going through a hard time and anxious and worried about what has happened and what's going to happen, trying to teach them about that we are only here now. And now is the only time we have. And it's so wonderful. I'm so grateful to have this nice, thin, simple book that I can refer people to so that they don't just think it's just crazy Dana. Yeah. That they can have a tool that they can use and read into and that helps them on their
yes.
journey. Because not all my friends are here. They're scattered.
Sure.
Anyway. Thank you.
Well, you know, that was our prayer when we began this church, was that individuals would catch on to this and experience themselves as transformed in Christ. And then without fault or all, just go out and be friends with those you are friends with and family, those you're family with, and carry this with you. Carry this realization with you. The truth that we're one, the truth that God is love, the truth that he is here now. And as you say, now is the only moment we ever have. So what? It's eternity. Eternity is now. And we are caught in time, moving from past to future. We haven't got time to stop it now. And Thomas says, this was one of the great gifts Thomas gave us. The ego, which you hear a lot of bandied about, oh, that guy's all filled with ego. The ego is the bridge over now. The ego is what keeps the now out of us, out of our awareness, and keeps us reminiscing about the past, trying to heal it, or fearing the future and trying to make ourselves secure in it, when the moment of security where the presence of God is thick and real and deep is here. It's this wide. Just here. Now. Now, when you get something this wide, that's what Jesus calls the narrow gate. Enter by the narrow gate. That's today's scripture. I love it when this happens, but this talk was planned 3 weeks ago. And I didn't care what scripture was in the liturgy for today. I was going to talk about the narrow gate. Well, today's liturgy is the narrow gate. So apparently that's what was destined to happen today. And this narrow gate is something we enter by. Someone comes to Jesus and says, will everyone be saved? He says, not so easy, because you got to enter by the narrow gate. And what he's saying is that it's everybody's free will as to whether they enter or not. But the narrow gate is here and now where God is. He's not the God that says I was or a God I will be. He says I am. He's the amness, pure being. Now the fear, well, let me speak about myself. The fear I experienced when I was faced with this prospect of being here now permanently was, will I just sit here drooling? Am I going to be an inert little blob? Well, of course not. Because what drops away is the stuff we don't like anyway. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look at the birds and look at the flowers. You don't have to worry. Let your troubled hearts be at rest. Believe in God. Believe also in me, he's saying. Now, in order for that to become an efficacious truth in our lives, you can't carry the past into this. You can't carry the future into it. The narrow way is right here. Now, we get a taste, and I'll read from this in just a moment. We get a taste of it, but then there's more. Because that door isn't the door to inertia. That door is the door to transformed life. That door is the door to something we don't talk about often, but we're going to today. And Rusty, we're going to share. And we're going to talk about your favorite subject anyway.
I don't know what that is. to me, it's the teachings, the practical teachings that happen on Thursday that I think allow you to experience this concept.
Yes.
I had a situation a month ago where I was called into the office of boss and was fired. And one of the beautiful concepts of inner Christianity, work of inner Christianity, is the idea of no justification. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, an exit interview becomes very short with that idea. And there is a presence that is so different than everything else that was screaming to be expressed. And all of a sudden, things unfolded, actions were taken, and I was situated in a new job the next Tuesday. And I just look at the ways I could have experienced that. You know, the half hour of my pound of flesh on what the hell are you talking about, and blah, 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 what about this, and what about that, was just short-circuited. And all of a sudden, there was an opportunity to be present in that moment. Mm-hmm. And let things unfold in a very different way. Mm-hmm. Allow things that be unfolded on my behalf.
Thank you. Yeah. It reminds me of peace I give you. My peace I give you, peace such as the world cannot give, I give to you. Yes, Catherine. I was going to say Elizabeth again. Somehow she got Elizabeth on her 20 years ago, and I can't get it off.
One of the things that I really appreciated about Bennett's book was when he used the analogy of the room as consciousness, as awareness,
yeah.
And that it doesn't mind if a baby's born in it or somebody is murdered in it at that night. The room is just simply awareness. And this has helped me a little bit with my self-remembering and my non-identification as well, because I am here. Well, sometimes that's the Catherine Corporation is here versus the spaciousness of the room. And I see that I've always been identified to the what's manifesting, what's appearing in the room versus that's aware of what's appearing. And so that's becoming my self-remembering. I'm that that's observing what's appearing, not what's appearing. So beautiful. I appreciate beautiful. That part of Bennett's book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's a spacious oneness in which all of this is occurring. Just as in our unique individual minds, all the thoughts that appear in the multitudes of thoughts are all made of our mind, and they're in our mind. They're in us, but not of us. And we are in this world, but not of it, because we are of the spiritual world. We're having a physical experience, but we're spiritual beings. and to get our identity right back from what you just talked about, to get our identity out of what you called the Catherine Project, or mine is the Tim Project. Ken Wilber refers to the Atman Project, the building of the self, the making of the wonderful self. Well, I mean, so selves are pretty disposable, just like the shells of seeds are pretty disposable. There's something else grows out of them, but they're not meant to be hung on to permanently. So here, anybody else got anything they want to share? Yes, Dennis, go ahead.
I found with this book the theme of now I am, kind of reaching for that. And I don't know how to describe it, but it's changed my experience of centering prayer.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead, Carolyn.
I had an experience that speaks to the awareness aspect of, that Francis talks about. I work in a building that's on the fifth floor. I work in a cube. I look out. I see skyline, but I don't see anything else.
Put the two right here, Jamie.
So I've been working on the aspects of getting aware of the here, the now, and observing my reaction to that. And I was looking particularly at my computer screen, worrying about certain problems that I'm seeing and customers I support. And out of the corner of my eye, I see a huge group of Mylar balloons that someone had let go, and they were just floating along in the breeze, bouncing around, and I thought, okay, what a gift to get back to stop thinking about the problems and get aware of me and God and life and be more like a balloon.
It can.
There's a simplicity in his writing that can almost be overlooked, and I've just been reflecting that it's really the more than 15 years here in this community that has opened up the real profoundness to what he's writing. The one thing, as you were mentioning about being, you know, worrying about being this blob, the idea that kind of stuck out for me was, there's not enlightened people and not enlightened people. There's enlightened and those that don't know that they're enlightened. Mm-hmm. And that idea that it's already all here, you're already enlightened, is something that we talk about here, but he just writes it in such a simple, very clear way that makes it more accessible.
Beautiful. Yes, Shirley, way in the back. And Shirley will be the last one to share.
I've had a trick come to me lately about awareness. And the trick is that everybody's heard of this in the past, but I question everything, and what I find is there's no answer to anything. And so when I live in the question, whatever my mind's thinking at the moment, I just question it and realize that there's no answer, and here I am.
Uh-oh. What do we do now? There's no answer. So, what we have here that was brought up is a variety of strands of the traditions that are coming together in oneness today to give us a new cosmic vision, a new theology of experience in the living God, not the God who is dogmatically caught in ancient structures, or the God who is rooted in rules, but the God who is, the God who is here, the God who loves us so much that it's almost unbearable to realize how much we avoid him. So practices have been developed over the centuries in various traditions, and we use many of them here. One of them that Bennett uses was one of the first ones I used that I learned from Sri Ramana Maharshi, which was self-inquiry. Who am I? Who am I? Well, the first thing that comes up when you start doing that is, well, I was born January 22nd, 1943, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and the series of events that describes the who goes on. But who am I beyond that? Who am I deeper than that? Can you do that now? Who am I? And just realize, as Shirley just said, there's no answer to that. You're a mystery. Any explanation that we provide for ourselves about ourselves is pure hypothesis. And it may comfort us to make us feel solidly like we're something, but a spirit doesn't have hard outlines. And a spirit isn't contained in a concept. And we are mystery, and the safest place in this world is in mystery. In being awake to the presence that moves us. Now, let's read Francis Bennett. I just want to read a page and a half of Francis Bennett for those of you who weren't here, so you can kind of get a taste of what it is we're talking about. The saints and mystics of the various traditions would all tell us that discovering who we are is so simple and so clear that we often miss it. Have you ever been looking in a well-stocked grocery aisle for some small item, like say a jar of black olives, and somehow you manage to look right past it when it's right in front of your face? I know I've done this very thing many times. We do this with our true identity of awareness, which is always present. Perhaps the problem lies in the fact that we live so much of our lives up in our heads, stuck in a world of concepts and ideas about who we are, while we ignore our own most direct and simple experience of it. For is it really ever possible to actually be anything or anyone other than just who I am? If we learn to pay close attention to our own simple everyday experience of just being who we are, will become quite obvious, self-evident, as plain as the nose on your face. In this very moment, in any moment, your own most direct experience of who you really are is very simple. You are simply a field of consciousness, choiceless awareness, in this present moment, here and now. It's true that you are probably engaging in some activity or other in this present moment. For example, right now you're hearing the words from this page. What you are doing in the present moment is constantly going to be changing. You may set aside this book and take a drink of water, eat something, or go answer the phone, but whatever you happen to be doing, the most basic sense of existence is always about being. Being is always the very simple reality of your conscious awareness in this present moment. The doing of the present moment is always obviously secondary to simply being. Now I am reading, now I'm taking a drink of water, now I am eating something, now I'm talking on the phone. What is the one common factor in every one of those statements? Isn't it the now I am? The now I am precedes any particular doing. The now I am is the substratum, the most basic underlying reality that makes possible all the varied, ever-changing human experiences or doings. Before we are anything else, a man, a woman, old, young, well, or sick, we are a human being. So there you go. The mystery is solved. Who you are is being itself. Simple awareness in the here and now. So we adopt a story, and the story becomes something we tell to others, and we listen to their stories, and we come to common agreements about how things are and what's going on here. But deeper than all of that is the simple presence I am, that Moses saw revealed in the burning bush. Who shall I say sent me? Tell them I am sent you. Well, I am. And Jesus has the famous I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the bread of life. I'm the door. I'm the true vine. All of these things are in the I am, which is only present in this narrow, narrow moment. The price of entry is, of course, letting go of what we just did or what we anticipate, to feel the livingness, the mysterious livingness that is manifesting us now. If we think our cause is back in time, well, we're living in a kind of a Newtonian physics world and haven't yet entered the world of quantum mechanics and quantum entanglement, where there's a whole nother set of valuable insights available to a pilgrim. But when we get to the now I am, that's not the whole story. And this is where our friend Bernadette Roberts has been such a revolutionary gift in helping us open to the great Christian aspect of the mystery of I am-ness. Because when I've noticed that I am, and I see that I really can't explain myself, and there's really no way I could possibly know what's going to happen next, when I see that I simply am, I realize, oh my goodness, I'm dependent. I don't know how I keep being I am. I don't know how I persist. I don't know. In fact, you'll see if you study it, how language comes, where our words come from, how concepts are formed into audible sounds, moved across space and into other consciousnesses where they become an experience of some sort. Maybe the one the speaker intended, maybe something else. When we see this mystery and realize our absolute dependence, we realize what Jesus has called us to realize, that we are sons, daughters of a loving Father. Because in the moment of the I am-ness becoming clear, the Trinity comes to life. And this is the genius of the Christian offering to the traditions of humanity. It's the fulfillment of the Trinity. There is a Father. There is a source of all this, and Jesus told us to call it Abba, Daddy or Father. Now, it doesn't mean that God is a guy with a beard and he's Jesus' dad. It's a metaphorical way of speaking about the someoneness. It's not just this cold and calculating universe, all edges and measurements and speeds. There are qualitative presences in being. Fatherness, motherness. All of these things are in God before they're in humans. And when Jesus gave us permission, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Know me and you'll know the Father. Don't stop at Jesus. Don't stop at the experience I am. Elevate that experience to humility. Now I am yours, Father. Now I realize my absolute dependence on you. And now I feel you communicating to me your Holy Spirit. Because in the Son's acceptance of the Father's existence, the Father is finally able to pour into the Son, the daughter, his whole being, which he's been trying to anyway, except we won't rest long enough to receive him. So when that sonness and fatherness begin a dialogical relationship, the Holy Spirit enters life and begins to change everything. For what in India is called the jiva, and for what in us is called the developing soul. The developing soul, moved by the Spirit, is living in another world, even though the physical body appears in this one. And so getting to know the Trinity, getting to experience ourselves in the Trinity, is to discover the dynamism of God, the creative dynamism of God. We weren't created a long time ago. We're creating and being created now in a dialogical reciprocity with the mystery of existence, which has endowed us with free will and free attention to do anything we want with these lives. We can sure live them out in a long story and then at the end say, well, it's okay. Or we can find that narrow way right now, the I am here way, which opens us to relationship, true relationship with the Father, not just of our Father who art in heaven, but the physical, experiential realization that I cannot explain myself and that something continues to cause me to exist. And I'll call that Father. And in calling it Father, I open it for it to begin to endow me with qualities like a son and to lead me by his Holy Spirit as he has led every step of the foundation and growth of this church. The Holy Spirit has been leading this church, and the Holy Spirit has been active because we've been submitted to God as the mystery of existence, which does not become our property when we realize the true self. Oh, now I'm there. Now I'm wonderful. No, now I realize how dependent I am for every breath, for every heartbeat, for the metabolism that allows CO2 to be drawn off from the products of cellular metabolism, O2 to be taken in. The miracle of the interpenetrating levels of existence and the interpenetrating dependencies of life becomes apparent to us as our eyes are opened to what Abraham Joshua Heschel called wonder. Oh my God, wonder. That anything is at all. And how does it persist? And how does it teach me? And how does it reveal itself to the saints and the mystics? Christianity, in its essence, is mystical. The touch of God, mystery. The presence of God in us, mystery. How can we control it? Well, can't, who would want to control it? Why not let it guide us? Why not let it open Red Seas for us? Why not let it heal us of our craziness and our addictions to the worldly ways of seeing and doing? How about letting it heal our tongues so that instead of criticism and judgments, we can speak words that heal the wounds of creation? Speak words of consolation and truth. Draw people closer and closer to the truth that they and God are one, and we and God are one. And his oneness will not be violated. You can't divide Christ up. Christ, the overall Son, the Logos, the wisdom, the creative spirit, cannot be divided. Paul told it clearly. In Christ, there's no slave or free or Jew or Greek or male or female. You look at the athletes in the Olympiad. What a beautiful garden of human beings. All unique, and yet more the same in their different forms and shapes and colors and skills. Right in the heart, I am. They're us, and we're them. Everybody is us, because there's only one of us here. It is the human race, and though it has individual expressions, individual unique iterations, every one of us is unique and will never be repeated, we're still one. Like a garden with lots of different flowers and it all growing out of the same earth, we're one. Now, our Father has endowed us with capacity to know him. At first, when I started talking to him as a father, it felt awkward. It felt put on. It felt like I was faking because I had cosmic consciousness. I was awake in a cosmic way. But I wasn't incarnated in a Christian way. And when I started talking to God as Abba, it felt kind of fakey and strained. But then intimacy started to arise. And the feeling of closeness and identity began to replace the kind of acting as ifness. And a sense of real presence took the place of that alienation that formerly occupied my unconscious. That feeling of doubt or uncertainty or apprehension that something might go wrong. We're not meant to live with that. That's what the Bible calls sin. That feeling of alienation and otherness, it's an unnecessary addition to the presence that we are. So the Father is pure knowing, infinite potential. The Son is the form of form, the infinite capacity for manifesting. And the Holy Spirit is the movement or the activity moving throughout it. The Trinity is here whether anybody knows it or not. There is no existence without the Trinity. There is mind, there's idea, and there's expression. There's source of form and activity. There's a million ways you can parse it out. And it has been so done in many religions, but where Christianity comes in is you and I are included in the Trinity, included personally in the Trinity as human beings, beloved children of an ever-present, ever-caring Father who sees to our welfare without us even deserving it or earning it or doing anything other than just showing up and being here and trusting the author of this universe, this entire vast universe, with our lives more than we trust our imaginations. The imagination doesn't want to come here. But we can teach it, and there's celestial and divine help whenever we need it. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Father. Come, living Christ. Come and live in all of us. Come and manifest through us. This earth is getting tired. And we're getting tired. So many people come in and tell me they're so tired. It's an exhausting time to be alive. What do you do when you're tired? Oh, yeah. Relax. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Amen. Let's stand up and sing.
Teach me, Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing, right doing, there is a field, I'll meet you there. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing, right doing, there is a field. To sleep.
And now it's time to join together for a time of centering prayer and community. As we prepare, we might just become aware that the chairs in which we're sitting are supporting our body weight. In that awareness, we can accept that support and let go. Deeply relax. Relaxed, open, alert, we allow our attention to fall gently to the area of the heart, the seat of life, the seat of divine love. Resting in the heart, we listen with the ear of the heart to the psalmist. In my distress, I cry to you, that you may come quickly and comfort me. Be strong in me that I might face the darkness, the despair that rises from the depths. I am bowed down with remorse for my inappropriate choices. Forgive me, O healer, for all my betrayals of others and to my own soul. Forgive me, O healer. Bless my tears that flow like a stream running to meet the living waters of your love. Too long I have lived by my ego. Feeling separate from your love, my desires blinding me to the love that's always present, here and now. I yearn to live in peace. Come quickly. Strengthen me as I face the illusions within, as I rest with you now in your love in this present moment. Pray our family prayer together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that serves us. And we share them in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every particle of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our certain knowledge of what is always truth. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, we are so blessed when we simply remember God. Amen. That the dynamic presence of the indwelling Christ and the Holy Trinity, we dedicate these sighs and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. And I was going to read from Thomas, but I think it won't. We just talked about presence and pure being. And that's exactly what the host is offering to us. It's a simple presence of pure material being that seems to have been caused at the first Last Supper a couple thousand years ago, but is also being caused momentarily, moment by moment, to be here with us now. This is the material presence of the living one, just as our bodies are the material presence of the living one. And in the cup is the spirit of forgiveness, the cup of forgiveness. It's all okay. None of the things we did as humans is held against us. It's just we've been asleep. And here's the gift of letting it all go. We're free to be here now because the Spirit of God has welcomed us home. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. Abba, we ask pour out your spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in our communion song, Abba.
We are the clay, the work. Baby, we want you. is in you, and you are in him. Abba Father, you are the potter, we are the clay, the work of your
living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and pray Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
hear our prayer. We are so grateful that you revealed your dynamic Trinitarian presence as I am. Amen. Amen.